subject today. We've love, joy, and you know, next would be peace, but we're going to patience, and I've already had a lot of criticism about that. But anyway, you can't have peace without patience. You can't have patience without peace, you know. But it reminds me, yesterday we got into a little bit of traffic, and we were leaving a ball game. I got in a little bit of a traffic because of the construction, they've rearranged our parking situation, and we were stuck in traffic a good 8-9 minutes, and it reminded me of a conversation I had with some friends of mine after the Alabama-Missouri game in Atlanta a few weeks ago. You know, I drove Danny and the boys over there, and I mean I went too, but I did the driving, and I parked. And I had this plan to the second I whipped out through Georgia Tech, hit the interstate, and was it not a great out, you know? And the get out is always the biggest thing about planning to go somewhere. How are you going to get out, you know? And we were sitting there talking, and there's about five of us, and everybody was sharing their stories, you know? And one guy said, you know, I was 3 hours and 15 minutes from dome to door, and that includes stopping at Chick-fil-A. And he said, we went back and even ordered shakes. You know, he was really, you know... And my brother talked about my dad doing, you know, planning how to get out of somewhere years ago. And he made this statement. He said, you know, we've been beating traffic for 40 years. and that's what, you know, you strategically, how can we beat the traffic? Well, you know, sometimes even when you plan well, your plans go awry and you get stuck. The question of patience is not planning. The question is, when a curveball comes your way, how do you react? Now, I'll tell you, I'm just going to be honest. Now, I know Jim is like me, maybe even more. We've talked about this. I do not like lines, and I do not like traffic. I would rather ride 40 miles out of the way, you know, to instead of sitting in traffic. So I don't care for that. One Sunday. It was during the Christmas season years ago. I had the great idea to go buy a piece of jewelry for Christy. Well, that was mistake one. No, I was by myself. It was a Sunday, and you know, it was one of these things. I looked down and said, "Oh, let me go get it." You know, and I went and I parked at the Galleria in a parking deck, like toward the top, because I said, "I don't care." Because there are two divergent philosophies in the car. My thought is, get a place, park, get in there. I don't care. Walking to me is not easy. I don't mind walking. Christy thinks we need to, patrol the parking lot until that one grand and glorious spot up front becomes available, and then, you know, we get that spot. Anyway, so I said, I don't care. I said, I'll park on the top of the parking deck, which I did. I went in the store, got my stuff, and everybody evidently decided to leave at the same time. And I spent 2 hours in the parking deck. I mean, I was a frazzled wreck when I got to the bottom. What happens when plans go awry and life throws you a curveball? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let's think about patience a little bit and how that the Holy Spirit is, he works in our lives, and this is a fruit that comes from him. It's not something we do, like we talked about last week, not happy, but joyful, because he fills us with his presence and he makes us, he develops us into a joyful person. Well, the same with patience. We're going to get to a definition of patience in a minute, but... I remember John Piper said something. He said, impatience is a form of unbelief because when you start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing or his goodness or his guidance, you get impatient. When will it happen? You know, it's sort of like waiting on a baby to be born. When will it happen? When is this going to take place? And there are some decisions you can make when you are faced with a curveball. Well, one decision is you can just choose to put your head in the sand and do nothing. You can say, okay, it will go away if I just ignore it. Well, that's generally not going to happen. Sometimes you can try to speed up the process, and when you try to speed up the process, a lot of times you make a mess of stuff. Or you can say, Lord, I don't understand everything, But I want to walk at your pace. You know, when we go places, and it's not like it once was. If we're somewhere and we're walking, it could be at the beach, it could be at Disney World, it could be going to a ball game. We have a normal way of walking, and we noticed one time Christy did a lot of videoing, and I started to notice. I said, "Why are you always videoing me from the back?" And it's because I'm walking, and she's strolling. Now, Benjamin and I tend to walk about the same pace, and it's, you know, we're getting to it, you know. Mary Catherine, of course, can't do that, and Christy strolls. There's a flower. Let's look at the flower. I know, but we've got to get to point B, you know. And there are times in life when those different things come into conflict. What happens when someone around you wants to look at a flower, and you're ready to get to point B? How do you react? Well, maybe there's some compromise and so forth. But patience and impatience is not really about the small things. They are just indicative of the big things. In short, the key to having patience is to holding on to God and slowing down to His pace. In Luke 21:19, we see this. By standing firm, you will gain life. In Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, David writes, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning, my soul waits for the Lord." And I think about that watchman waiting. And if you've ever been in a situation where you're waiting on the sunrise, have you ever been there? Waiting on the sun to rise. Is it ever going to get daylight? And finally, there's the glimmer of sun that comes up, and you see daylight. The watchman waits and waits and waits. And when he sees the morning, his heart is fulfilled because his job for the night is done. In passages, we see that we have obstinate children. And God says, "Woe to the obstinate children, those who carry out plans that are not mine. But and they form allegiances, not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin." And I think about that in Isaiah 30, those verses, or those words there, that the children sometimes start to carry out plans that were not mine because they could not wait. You ever had a situation where you couldn't wait? I do. It happens daily to me. And we live in a world that tends to shape toward impatience. Let me mention a definition or two of patience. Patience is self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. That's a good one. Here's another. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. A third one. Patience is the powerful attribute that enables a man or woman to remain steadfast under strain and to continue pressing on. You know, it's a, this too will pass, I will just wait, it'll be okay. But here's my favorite one. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God holds me in His hands. I know that God holds me in His hands. And it's difficult to develop patience for a number of reasons. One reason is it goes against our grain. Now the fruit of the Spirit, you know that goes against human nature because human nature is sinful. And so when we have the Lord come in our life, we start to develop this fruit of the Spirit, and they are at odds with our normal nature. And we are impatient people by nature. I mean, we really are impatient. Christy, she thinks, she's right about this, you know. But she tends to pinpoint me. She says, Andy doesn't feel like he's had a meal unless it's a hot meal. You know, right? I don't know. You know, we can eat cold stuff, and I'm always like, well, that's the hors d'oeuvres. Where's the hot meal? And I like a hot meal, you know. But it is not easy to go into the kitchen and make a hot meal. It requires time. And, you know, there are watching, and when is it going to be ready? What time is supper and so forth? When is the meal going to be ready? And we have developed for ourselves in the world in which we live something called fast food. Now, fast food, you know, you go in there, right? And it takes 4 or 5 minutes, and there it is. It's ready to go. You had to do nothing except for pay for it and wait in line for a minute or two. It goes against our grain. There's a little boy. He was going on a trip. He was 4 years old. He said, "Mom, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there." And she finally said, "Do not ask me that question again." And the little creative boy sat there and thought for a minute, and he said, "Well, Mom, just tell me this. Will I still be 4 when we get there?" And I'm like that sometimes. Lord, when? When is it going to happen for me? When is this issue that I'm praying for going to be taken care of? And we find ourselves in times of desperation, in times of loneliness. And waiting and developing patience is very difficult. Another reason we are impatient, I think, is because there are weeds of pride and selfishness and anger that can choke out the fruit of patience. You know, we get that way. You know, we think that we should have it all. You know, all the frantic efforts that we put into life should have fruit at all times. Reminds me of a man and his car stalled in the middle of the interstate. You ever had that happen? Or not stall, but at least, yeah. And everybody's behind it. You know, when Benjamin had his fender bender, right, his accident a few weeks ago, did somebody ride by and give you a dirty? Okay, yeah. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. Here you are, you're struggling, and somebody rides by, you know, and says, you know, "Hey, bud." And you have that. That's the ultimate of impatience. Anyway, this guy, he said his car stalled and he was sitting there and he kept trying to start it and people were honking their horns. So he went to the guy behind him and he said, "Listen, I've tried to get the car started. If you will go and try to start my car, I'll stand here and honk your horn." And we have that. We have it. You know, get out of the way. Yeah. The other day there was a lady and she was not going very fast. And this has been something that's been in my mind for years and years and years. And people were going by, and I slowed down for her. And there was a comment made about her not going fast. And I said, "You know, I remember well being in the car with my grandmother years ago. And we were coming down off the mountain, and a guy went by, and how frantic it made her." And we pulled up at the end of the road, and she pulled right behind him at the stoplight. She said, "It's amazing. He almost ran me off the road, and here we are at the stoplight together." And I've thought about that ever since then, because when I see, you know, a person driving like this lady, she was like this in traffic going by. I said, "That's just like my grandmother." And I said, "I know how frantic she must feel in that car." Well, a third reason we get impatience. Patience is difficult to develop because it's just contrary to the rat race in which we live. I mean, it really is. There was a church in Florida a few years ago that advertised 22-minute worship services. Now, I don't mean 22-minute sermon. I mean 22-minute service. Now, don't even get a big idea. But 22 minutes and advertise. You come in, we'll get this thing done and move on. And we live in that kind of world. Let's get it done and let's move on. And it seems that everybody but sports has gotten this because they tend to increase the game with the commercials, you know. But let's do it and let's do it quick because people have somewhere to get. Where they have to get, I have no idea, but they got to get somewhere. Proverbs 14:29 says this: "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." Being patient when the pressure is on is not something that's natural, but you can have that because of the supernatural filling, infusion, character of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let us develop and let us help that piece of the fruit grow. There's a young man, very upset with his mother. And they had argued, and he wrote her an angry letter giving, and just all the things were wrong, just this letter. And he gave it to a friend, and he said, "Mail this letter to my mother." And a friend took it and put it in his pocket and said, "You know, he may feel differently later." And the next day, they came in to work, and the guy said, "You know, I feel so bad. I wish I had not written that letter to my mother. I wish I could take it back." And his friend pulled it out of his pocket and said, "There it is." And sometimes the words in which we speak, if we could take time to stop and slow down, it might be that we change those words as well. How do we develop patience? Well, we exercise. You know, exercise makes you stronger and makes you bigger. So let me give you some ways to exercise. You exercise patience by abiding in Christ. When we're connected to the vine, it's amazing how love, joy, peace, patience, and all that start to work together. You know, peace is where we don't have conflict with one another. But in order to not have conflict with one another, we got to have patience with one another. In our house, you know, when we get ready to go somewhere, we know who's going to be bringing up the rear. Anybody else have that in their house? Do you know who's going to bring up the rear? No point. But you know who's bringing up the rear. And I play this little game because, you know, I like to be, you know, on time. But I always make sure everybody gets out the door and the doors are locked and so forth. So it appears though I'm not bringing up the rear. I'm getting everybody out of the house when really I might be. But Mary Catherine and I generally are the last ones to the car. Would you agree with that? Not in a bad way, but we're kind of coming to the car. Jacob's there, you know, with his clock, and you know he's the otter. You know, you remember those personality traits? You know, he's the otter. He's been there. Benjamin's just there. You know, he's always ready. You know, he got his stuff. Christy is loaded down with bags, extra bags, right? Last-minute bags, things we thought about at the last minute, we're putting those in. And Mary Catherine and I, we're finally getting to the vehicle. We know how this goes every time. Somebody has to have patience with somebody else, or else we have conflict. Do you have patience with God? Do you have patience with the Lord? You know, some of us have been praying about things for a few years. Some of us have issues in life that are really, really weighing on us. And we seemingly have not had an answer as of yet. But Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. You'll bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience. There are other things we can do. We can learn to slow down a little bit. Slow down your walk and walk at the pace of the Lord. You know, I read in the New Testament about the movements of Jesus, and it never seemed like he was in a hurry, but it seemed like he had purpose. And those are two different things. He was able to walk from point A to point B and stop to minister to people when they touched the hem of his garment, or somebody came up and said, you know, we have a blind person. Whatever the situation was, because he had taken care of his business. The reason I can't stop for people is because most of the time I have not taken care of my business. I've got to get there because I failed to do what I needed to do. Therefore, I'm now in a hurry. I'm a last-minute person. Is anybody else a last-minute person? There's no sense paying something until it's due. There's no sense doing the income taxes till October 15th because that's when they're due, right? You get that six-month extension. October 15th is when they are due. So no sense doing it until that. And Christy's every year, she's reminding me, you know, if you did this earlier. And I said, yes, baby, but that's, you know, not fun. So I'm running around, you know, chopping everybody's heads off because we got to have this now. And she said, you've known about this for 10 months. And she's got a point. If you take care of your business, it's amazing how you can walk at a different pace. Has it ever struck you as odd? Now, I don't know, which fast food place was it that used to have the slogan, you deserve a break today? McDonald's. Was it McDonald's? Yeah. You deserve a break today, right? And you know, come in, take your break today, and get out on the road again. You know, you deserve a break. We're going to make the food so fast for you that you don't even have to stop. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive a little bit. Another thing we do, we need to overlook the frustrations of life. Warren Wisby tells about the time he picked up a hitchhiker, and he was kind of a hippie type, you know, and they were riding along. And they came to a detour that took them off the main road onto a twisting, hilly, farm-to-market type road. And Wisby said, I was starting to fret, and I was getting anxious because I have to be somewhere, and the time was going by. And I was complaining and complaining and complaining. He said, I can't get there. And he said, my hitchhiker friend turned to me. He said, hey, man, don't sweat the small stuff. And, you know, we could probably get a good dose of that. Some of the things we get concerned about aren't even that important. Did it matter that I sat at for 9 minutes in traffic? No. It really didn't matter. Sometimes we might even look at delays as blessings. So, Lord, I don't know what is down the road. I know this. You have me in your hand, and your delay I'm taking as a divine appointment because you got me here. You know, I like to go into grocery stores that have a lot of lines open because I don't like lines, right? I was in a store not too long ago, and there was a line that was a little longer than the others. And there was a trainee, and you could tell, you know. And the manager was kind of hovering around, helping her with everything. And you could see people. I thought, I said, you know, here she is. Here she is. Needing the job. And she's learning. And you know how much harder it is to learn when people are going. You know how hard it is to officiate? When people look and they do that kind of stuff, well, come on, bud. Get it together. Impatience breeds disaster. Well, we're not just talking about impatience in the small stuff, but impatience in the big stuff. The other day, I was reading. My dad gave me a book, and it's just a book written, edited by a friend of mine. It's about Francis Asbury. Read the first quote there from Dennis Kenlaw, and it said, Francis Asbury was the most important American who has ever lived. And I said, okay, that's a big statement. And I started reading about Francis Asbury and all the things he and George Whitefield did in this country, setting the tone for the religious fervor in this country. And it talked about him traveling around, and it said that he dealt with so many issues of health. Of course, you know, we're talking about in the 1700s. You know, he knew George Washington and all these people, but he traveled around, and he said it many times be wet and cold, not have a place to sleep, and just sort of crawl up under a tree and get a few hours of sleep in the damp cold. And he said he dealt with a persistent problem of strep throat. You ever had strep throat? And he had all these issues, but it said he had something in the British. The word, there was a word, and it's S-L-O-G, he would slog, meaning he would not quit. He slogged on, step by step by step. Can you imagine the prayers? Lord, I don't feel good. I've got a fever, but I know you've placed me in America to slog on, to make disciples of Christ, and I'm not going to quit on you. I will have patience to fulfill what you have for me to do. And in the end of that foreword, Matt wrote, it said, you know, while many people came in those early years to America and they faced the frontier and they returned to their life of ease in Britain, Francis Asbury did not, because he had the endurance of patience to slog on. Let me mention a couple things. We need to exercise patience in our problems. We got problems. We all have problems. Some are big, some are small. Some really, really are weighing on us, and some are not. You know, we have issues. And as we read a minute ago in Proverbs 14:29, a person of great understanding is patient, but a short-tempered man, it says in a New English translation, is the height of stupidity. When you have short patience, when you're hot-tempered, it does no good. When we allow our emotions to get control, we make bad choices every time. We say the wrong thing, we do the wrong thing, we mess up. A couple of years ago, we had a car transfer. You ever transfer the title to someone? You know, you can't make a mark on the title in the wrong spot, or you have to redo the whole thing. Well, it was one of those situations that said, don't sign here and sign here. And the person doing the car, he signed it in the wrong spot. And when you sign in the wrong spot, you have to wait for the state to reissue a new title before you can transfer a title. Stopping, waiting, taking time in that situation would have made a difference. Now, I'm an impetuous person. Sometimes I act and then think. And this is, having patience is the opposite of that. Well, you know, we need to exercise patience with people. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I encourage you to live the kind of life which proves that God has called you. Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other and lovingly accept one another. Be patient with each other. Is it hard to have patience with fellow believers? Sometimes. Sometimes it is. But be patient with one another. What we want is we want people to be perfect. And people are not going to be perfect. They may be saints, but they're not yet glorified. We get impatient with people's walk with the Lord. They keep falling. Why are you falling? And we don't take the plunk out of our own eye, you know. Instead of being like, Jesus, let me help you up. We sometimes look at our teenagers and our children and we get impatient with them because, you know, they don't make the right choices. Well, sometimes we don't make the right choices as adults either. I was reading about an Amish thing and it said this guy had done a study on Amish children and he noticed that Amish children never fought or raised their voice in the playground and they asked the question why. And the answer was, have you ever seen an Amish man or woman yell at anybody? And, you know, sometimes impatience breeds impatience. But Paul had a different attitude. Exercising patience with yourself. Now, you know, we're not here to, you know, to build up ourselves. This is not self-help. But some of us need to relax with ourselves a little bit as well. Some of us are so disappointed with things about our own personal life that it causes impatience. And you know what? Where you are is where you are today. And God can use you and take you forward from today. James said it like this, consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. And endurance, when it has its perfect result, makes you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So be patient with yourself. Also, be patient with God's plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. I've told this story before. It really, you know, just resonates with me. I heard a man talking about a friend of his, and he said, you know, this girl, she decided to dedicate her life to being a nurse. And she wanted to go to the mission field and help people in third world countries as a nurse. And in those days, the nursing ladies would wear nice pressed dresses, hats, the whole nine yards. And he said, I can remember her picture so well when she graduated from nursing school in this white outfit. And there was that picture. And her parents took her down and she joined a missions organization. And she went overseas. All this planning, all the schooling went into this. And she goes overseas. And after she's there a very short time, she contracts malaria and dies. Where is God's plan? It seems like a waste. But I want to tell you, it's not a waste. Because what we have is we have God holding us in His hands, not holding our wishes, dreams, and desires, but God holding us into His hands. And God has a plan for you today as well. I want to finish with these five statements. Some takeaways, things we need to do. Number one, we need to look at people through the eyes of Jesus. We need to see people as Jesus sees people. I mean, we really need to do that. We need to see the slow as people who need to be helped. We need to see the fast as people who need to be slowed down. and all that. Paul said it like this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Jesus came and He did this. He was trained and He was tired at times maybe, but He continued to move on. He continued to love. He continued to do the things that He was sent here to do. Sometimes I get very impatient with others. And I have to go back and I say, I need to see people as Jesus sees people. He doesn't see people at their faults. He sees them as creations who are loved by His Heavenly Father. I read a story about a man. He was in a train. They were in the train and there was a baby crying and crying and crying, you know. And went over and said, you know, can you get the baby to stop crying? And the person there, you know, take the baby to its mother and whatever. And the man sitting there with the baby crying said, well, His mom is in the next car in a casket. And we're taking her home to bury her. Now that changes the whole situation, right? Well, maybe we need to see people in advance of knowing the situation. When you see people who are ill-tempered, there's a reason. One time a guy yelled at me over the phone. It shocked me. Shocked me. And I told the guy I was working with, I said, man, this guy just yelled at me over the phone. I said, all I did was ask a question. He said, he's not yelling at you. He's got something else in his life. He said, don't take it personally. He's not yelling at you. I'm never making a phone call again, you know. Second, and I use this word, apprentice. Apprentice yourself to patient people. What our problem is that we sometimes get around the impatient instead of learning how to get around the patient and learning from them. Two verses. Proverbs 22, starting verse 24. I'm going to read this. I'll let you deal with it. I'm just going to read the words from Solomon here. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one so easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Be careful where you hit your wagon. James says this, chapter 5, verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the midst of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord has full compassion and mercy. So be like Job. Learn from patient folks. Number three, release your anger appropriately. Anger comes, right? And, here's some things that don't work. Suppressing anger does not work. Matter of fact, sometimes you might go tick, 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 because it's going to blow, right? Suppressing anger does not work. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Sometimes expressing our anger does not work. But confessing our anger does work. Lord, I am angry. Help me to take this and put it in the right place. I have anger. Help me not to sin. Because anger comes. Anger happens. Now, I got to tell something. It was last night. Christy, I don't know what it was, but something was left out. And on normal occasions, it was left out by maybe somebody that lives upstairs, I'll just say. In this occasion, she said, this has not been done, and she didn't say it like that. I'll say, this has not been done. And Mary Catherine said, it was me. And we all just had a big laugh because, we were pointing the blame in the wrong place. I know that doesn't happen in your house at all. But sometimes we need to stop and understand that we need to focus our energies in the right place. Be angry and do not sin. Number four, get ready to go through some difficult times. James 1:3, because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Understand that you need patience in order to get through hard times. Understand that Corrie Ten Boom in a concentration camp was not her plan for life, but she was there and she served Jesus while there. Understand that there are people who have been put into bad situations, and while they're there, they can serve Christ in the bad situation. Take the place where you are as the place in which God has placed you. Number five, rely on God's help because patience is the very nature of God. Have you realized that God is patient with us? Now, we sang a song as kids. I don't remember if it was in a play or something. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God has patience too. Just think of all the times others have had to wait for you. Psalm 148:8 says this, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Have you ever thought about God has patience with you? God has patience with us way beyond our ability to show patience with others. He doesn't say, come on now. He pulls and leads and prods. He's the good shepherd. He doesn't crush us when we make a mistake. He's there to forgive us and to restore us to fellowship when we make a mistake. Surely we can act like that toward others. I close with this. You know, Jesus was headed toward Calvary's cross. And he was there that night praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as a matter of fact, I read recently a cardiologist described the drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it talked about how in medical science, you can only see this happen when a human being is under extreme, extreme stress. And here is Jesus, and he's praying. And all the guys around him are taking a nap. And you know, when Jesus came to them, and he prayed earnestly, and he was to the point of death and all that, he did not come out in anger with them. He simply said, "Could you not watch with me an hour?" And then he went back and he prayed some more. And I see in Jesus that night probably one of the great examples of patience with another human being that I've ever seen. Jesus was patient. Can we be patient with one another? Can we be patient with God's plan for our life? Have you ever stopped and wondered why God hasn't intervened? Why he hasn't sent a lightning bolt? Why he doesn't just do things in an instant? Maybe it's because in order to develop the fruit of the Spirit fully in our lives, we must have those times of testing so that we can develop the fruit of patience. Have patience. Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. And remember, God has patience too. And just think of all the times that others have had to wait for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the rich words of Scripture and how we read through the Psalms and the Proverbs and on into the New Testament, but about the times we're standing firm and allowing your plan to develop is the wise way to be. And I pray that you'll help us to be wise. Help us not to put the cart before the horse. Help us not to try to do things in our own strength. Yes, let us have purpose. But help us not to be in too big of a hurry so that we get outside your plan for our life. Help the fruit of patience to grow wildly in our lives. Amen and amen.